And we have five guys on the roster that are either 6'10 or 6'11 and weigh somewhere between 240 and 280. Like, we have five of those dudes.
Mm-hmm.
That seems kind of redundant, right?
We got more than five. I think we got seven, but it's fine.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, so just
prepare to... Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That train is off the track.
I feel like you can't just like jump through Neptune and be okay.
Just prepare to.
What the show needs is more dogs and bears and chickens and stuff.
Yeah, so just prepare to be a watch and beautiful goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your Pacers audio hour, and member of Almighty Baller Radio. Today is July 9th, 2017, and coming to you from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., I'm the doctor, Jason Triplett. Joey's off this week. He actually had to sit in for President Trump in a brief meeting at the G20 summit. So we'll be expecting him back from Hamburg shortly. This show, we're going to talk more off-season moves by the Pacers and what it means for the team. We'll look at some of the big moves other teams have made and if they matter. And we'll do all of that. And we'll give you a stat of the week. And joining me to discuss all of this is our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? What is up, JT? It's really good to see you. Shout out this week to Summer. You know, I'm just mowing lawns, going out to people's fire pits, watching lots of superhero movies. Like, life's pretty good. I can't complain.
Great, man. It's good to hear. Yeah, we're rolling a two-man pod this week. Harper also out, indisposed with probably battling a wildfire, I'm guessing.
They're doing something
all over the West Coast.
Really important. Yeah.
Exactly. Enforcing wildfires. I got shout out to my sister, who we'll link in the show notes. She put out a little web sketch thing called The Audition. It was really funny.
I really enjoyed it. I must say, I made some time to watch it this week. It was great.
Yep. So she's brilliant. She's the talented one in the family. So I encourage everybody to tune over there and also tune into her podcast. We'll also put a link to that, Falling in Love with Trip and Brick. And we'll, I guess, shout out also. We're going to do a crossover pod with them soon, I think. Got to start coordinating that.
Well, I mean, basically, the NBA offseason needs to slow down, which apparently it doesn't yet. It hasn't yet. We're
right, yeah.
Just constant information at all the time. Pacers are changing daily right now.
Yeah, constant information. Also, Summer League is going on somehow. The Pacers went through Summer League. They only lost one game, went 5-1, but somehow finished in third place.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that happened.
There's a point system of some sort that doesn't matter.
It's about how many quarters you win or something like that is involved. Games don't matter. Words don't matter.
That's right.
We're living in weird times, my friend. All right, well, you mentioned it. Let's get into some of the things the Pacers have done since we last spoke. So last time we discussed a lot about the Paul George trade to Oklahoma City, bringing in Victor Oladipo and DeMontis Sabonis and what that meant. In the past week, the Pacers have made several moves. The biggest two, well, I guess they're all pretty big. So the first thing they did is they signed Darren Collison, former Pacer, to a two-year, $20 million deal. And we thought that had solved our point guard issues by signing a backup. Later in the week, the Pacers signed Bojan Bogdanović to make Slick Leonard's life even harder. And that was a two-year, $21 million deal, although the second year is only quasi-guaranteed.
Yeah, it's not really guaranteed.
The other thing the Pacers did is they waived Monte Ellis, so he gone.
Woohoo!
And they took his contract, and they are exercising the stretch provision. So this year, instead of his full $11.5 million salary counting against the cap, only 2.5 of that or so counts against the cap. But 2.5 will count against the cap for the next 5 years, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the final thing that the Pacers did actually just today is they did a sign and trade with the Toronto Raptors, trading CJ Miles to Toronto for Corey Joseph, a 6'5 point guard.
Who has lit us up in the past.
Oh, yeah. He's killed us. So, in totality, what do you think all these moves are doing for the Pacers? Are they making us better? Are they making us too good? What's going on here?
Okay. So last week we talked about maybe the failure of the Paul George trade, correct? Like we wanted young picks and young prospects and let's get bad and let's get into the lottery. And the trade had not done that. What we'd done instead is get a piece in Oladipo, who's going to be our starting point guard and gets paid $20 million a year. And then Sabonis, who is a rookie or coming off his rookie year and is a prospect, and ideally he'll develop into something at the four. If you just move forward with that, we're not a very good team, right? And we've replaced Paul George with pieces that don't equal Paul George. And we speculated that with all of our cap space that we might actually try to go out and get some pieces that would make us semi-competitive. We had holes at the one and the three. And what we did is we went out and signed some ones and some threes. Darren Collison quickly moving up my top 25 paces of all time list, because we know one of the things that gets you on that list is leaving and coming back. So shout out, Darren. Love you, brother. Corey Joseph, fantastic backup point guard, and maybe better than Darren Collison. They might be fighting it out for who's the starter next year. I don't think that's clear. And then this Bojan Bogdanovic. Is that how I say that? Did I do that all right?
You nailed it.
Yes.
That was amazing.
First time for everything. Is a three who doesn't play defense, doesn't rebound, doesn't do anything but shoots threes, which can stretch the floor, which is nice, but I'm not sure he's a starter. I think GR3 is probably still our starter, right? But at least we get some depth at three. So we kind of have a team now.
Well, do we? I mean, we have a lot of guys that are serviceable dudes in the NBA.
Corey Joseph and Darren Collison are both very nice pieces at a one. They're both great backups.
They're both fantastic backups.
Yeah.
Problem is that they're going to be starters on our team.
One of them will be, sure.
Bojan Bogdanovic and GR3 can both do things on the floor. They're both backups. I mean, I think that we have...
Oladipo is a starting two, right?
Is a legit starter.
Is Lance good enough to be starting at one or two? I mean, now we've put him to sixth man now by bringing all these guys, or... Are we going into camp letting him still fight for the one spot?
I don't know what our plan is. We have basically... I mean, at some level, we're doing what the league has been doing, is you have ball handlers, you have wings, and you have big guys, basically. And that's how you can break our team down. We're pretty thin in the wing department, I would argue.
For sure.
But Oladipo and maybe even Corey Joseph can play a little bit of wing.
Defense. Lance could play three. He's a big guy.
Lance could play three. I don't know. I mean, who's the primary ball handler on this team? I think that the idea is that the two best players on this team are Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner.
Correct.
And so we want them taking 25% of the possessions each.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Is that about right? Maybe Miles Turner a little bit more, depending on the game, right? So to me, that means why not just put the ball in Victor Oladipo's hands? I don't know that he's a guy that plays great off the ball, although he hasn't also hasn't been basically given a chance to do that, right? I mean, when he was drafted by Orlando, they put him in the point guard spot. And then the second year, they moved him to the two guard, but the guy playing point was a rookie who didn't know how to play in the NBA. So he did that for a couple years, and then gets traded to OKC last year, where he's playing alongside Russell Westbrook, who had a usage highest, rate of like 75%.
Right, the highest like in that, the history right. of the NBA or something like that.
So maybe he's good at being a shooting guard. I mean, certainly that's what he was at IU, and certainly that's what his size and sort of skill set, at least traditionally, would allow him to do, right? I don't think he's a natural point guard, but I don't think outside of Darren Collison, there's anybody on our roster that's a natural point guard.
I mean, I would say that Lance is a natural passer. Mm-hmm. And I would say that Corey Joseph is the best backup point guard we've had since Darren Collison. You know? I mean, these guys are... I think they can make impacts on games. They can sway games. They can change games. And, you know, that matters. I think Corey Joseph is worth 3 or 4 wins in an NBA season. Like, I think he's that really? Game-affecting. I do. I mean, he stole some games from us over the last 5 years that we could have sure. won. When he was with San Antonio and then with... where was he last? Where did we get him? Toronto?
Toronto, yeah.
So, you know, outside of that, we have a just a crap ton of young big guys and Thaddeus Young and Al Jefferson. I mean, I think we're going to probably start Thaddeus. I think we'll probably hold on to him and let him play and let him be a vet in the locker room, a vet on the floor. Guy knows how to play basketball, does a lot of little things. He plays defense. He doesn't rebound as much as I want him to, but... He knows how to be in the right spots. He can shoot. But I think he'll be a trade asset at the trade deadline.
Mm, interesting.
I think you could get something. You could facilitate a trade or whatever. There's going to be people that think they have a shot at the finals. They might need a Thaddeus Young. So I think we hold on to him. And then, you know, beyond that, you've got, what, Sabonis, who we went out and got. We've got TJ Leaf. As a rookie, we've got this EK Anigogubo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His name is not Ike.
His name is not Ike. We got a real Ian Jan situation here. It's EK.
Yeah.
Anigbogu.
How is that true?
It is. Again, words have no meaning. It's because he's he's African.
Right? Okay. So that's well, it. I actually like EK better than Ike.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So we got EK and then Miles Turner. And then I think Kevin Serafin still is, you know, probably your backup center. That guy played with great energy last year and had some good chemistry with Lance off the bench. I mean, you're going, you know, 10, 12 deep with guys that can play ball.
You're smoking crack.
No, I mean, there's nobody that's – we don't have a team of superstars, but we have 10 competent basketball players. Is that fair?
You're counting Sabonis in that list.
Yes, I am. He was a starter last year, even if he was...
Yeah, but I think he got worse as the year went on.
Yeah.
And you're counting Al Jefferson as being healthy.
No, I'm not counting him. I'm counting Serafin.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Boy, we're pushing all our chips in on Serafin. So if you... Okay, so let's take... You have your 12 deep of... competent.
Well, the rookies probably won't see a lot of minutes. Gun, but yes, right? The rest of them, sure.
Let's say that each of those guys plays to their ideal ability.
Because Nate's going to bring out the best.
Envision is the starting lineup. How would you...
Ooh.
If you were going into training camp, how would you draw it up to start?
I like this. So, Miles Turner and Thaddeus Young, I think are your starting 5 and 4. I like GR3. I think he brings offense and defense. Bojan is more of an offensive player, sort of a spark plug off the bench. So, although interestingly enough, at a press conference, a reporter asked sort of open to Nate and to Kevin Pritchard an opening question about GR3, and neither of them, you know, picked up the softball and said he's our guy, which I was really surprised by. Maybe they were distracted by lots of – it was kind of a two-part question, and they kind of answered the other part of it. But I was surprised that they weren't like, yeah, GR3, he's the guy going forward. We love this kid. We think he's got a lot of talent. So – but I would start him at three. I've got Oladipo at two. And I had kind of fallen in love with the Lance at one idea, honestly. I think defensively we're interesting. I think Oladipo and Lance together can both be ball handlers. Now that we've gotten two really competent backup point guards, I suppose Corey Joseph could be a backup two. I guess I put, yeah, maybe I still start Lance. And then I got Darren Collison and Joseph and Corey Joseph at 1-2 backing up. I got Bojan at 3, Sabonis at 4, and Serafin at 5. And then try to find some minutes for my rookies. That's my lineup.
Okay. I mean, I kind of like that. The thing I like about that is that, I mean, while GR3 and Oladipo are both intent defenders. They put forth a lot of effort on the defensive end. They're both a little bit undersized and weak, as it were. And Lance can help cover up some of that perimeter defense troubles. Certainly, we're better with whatever combination of backcourt we go with. We're going to be a better defensive backcourt than we were last year.
Sure.
Right? Even if you start Collison, who is he's a plus defender.
Sure he is. And, waterbug defender.
Stays, you know, in front of the ball. You start Collison and Oladipo, you're still better. That's a better defensive combination than Teague and Monte Ellis.
And now that you mention that, I mean, giving Lance the second unit, you know, sort of letting him come off the bench at the two with Corey Joseph could be a thing too. You know, I mean, these guys got to fight it out in camp, but you know, those are our 10 guys, right?
Well, I agree that those are the 10 guys. My leaning is to start Corey Joseph. I think that, well, I don't know.
I just think he's so effective off the bench. You know, I just think he's a seventh man in this league. He's really effective as a seventh man. I don't need to make him a starting one.
Yeah, and then you make so you start Collison maybe, and have him your primary ball handler, just getting people into sets and whatnot. And then you off the bench, Lance is your primary ball handler,
right?
I guess
let Corey, because Joseph can run off those screens and stuff. He does that.
Does how does he shoot from the?
I don't know.
He's a decent three-point shooter.
All I know is that he hit some spot-up threes. He hit some layups against us all the time. I feel like I've lost like three or four games specifically to Corey Joseph over the last 4 years.
I think you're having selective memory, but
I don't think so.
He shot 35.6% from three-point range last year, which is not his career high. But it's significantly higher than in 2014-15 with the Spurs. He shot 36%, 36.4%. Every other year, he's been at or below 30%. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, but I feel like he's better. He's certainly better at that than Lance is.
Sure.
Right? So I would
Lance is a guy with the ball in his hands.
Right. Yeah, I mean, to me, like, there's so much. You know, like you said, there's a bunch of guys that can play basketball, but there's just so much mediocrity here.
I think all those guys can play basketball. You know, I mean, you know, the idea, maybe Sabonis can't. Maybe he's not ready. You know, he's still a project potentially. We said we hoped that we assumed that the Pacers organization saw some potential in him, and that was part of the reason we were willing to trade Paul George for him. But, you know, maybe he's not ready. Outside of that, like, I feel like there's 9 guys that I know that can play basketball.
Well, and I think that the plan from Kevin Pritchard did an interview with JMV, I guess.
Yep.
On 1070. I don't know. I don't live in Indianapolis, so I don't know who these people are. But which was pretty interesting, which there are a few nuggets I think we want to talk about in that. But the thing that I want to talk about now is I think that the idea is that Pritchard just wants to get together guys that can play basketball and build something where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts somehow. I think he really believes in Nate McMillan for some strange reason. You know, and one of the things he said in that interview was that chemistry was his number one priority, basically. He wants to build a locker room where guys have the right kind of energy, guys come and they're fighters and they're flyers is what he called them, right? Guys that can quote-unquote make plays. It's like sounds like describing an NFL roster or something like that.
Or even
that's
a hockey team. Yeah.
These guys that make plays. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. And hopefully that energy will boost us to more wins than, you know, say if you threw us into an algorithm, you know, right. John Hollinger's algorithm or something like that. On the surface, that sounds like a good plan, but it also sounds like you're just... That's like building a team on a wish and a prayer. And I don't know if I'm comfortable with that as a Pacers fan.
Well, let me say this. I was really struck by Joey's statement last week. He said that over the last 4 or 5 years, which is basically as long as we've been doing this pod, that there were long stretches of where he didn't enjoy rooting for the team because it was guys that weren't playing hard. And that Indiana fans aren't going to tolerate that. I mean, we've gone through stretches. We've discussed it on the pod where the crowd is actively booing a 50-win team because they're not playing hard. And if this plan is to get a bunch of guys that are basketball players but they aren't superstars and to get them playing hard and together, I think this town will embrace that for sure. And I think that that can... get you to more wins than you think we should get to. I think we're still going to play well at home. I think this is a chance to be a fairly good defensive team. If some of these guys develop, like if a Lance can get comfortable and start scoring more, or Oladipo has got a green light, or Miles Turner takes the next step. I mean, there are guys on this team that could put the ball through the hole because there's nobody else doing it. Right. There's a chance there's a chance for us to be competitive. And honestly, Jason, the East is terrible. Like, we're going to pick up some wins against a terrible, terrible East. So. We might be a lottery team, but I think this is, we are not a, a top five pick. We've gone out and put pieces together that are going to make us better than that. We're not tanking for what's the dude's name? Martin Porter III or something, whatever the number one draft pick is next year.
Sure.
We're not going for him.
No, we're definitely not. And I mean, I think that, last week I talked a lot about how I thought that that was a bad plan, that I think that the smart thing to do would be to, in these trades, pick up draft picks, whatever those draft picks are. Pick up as many of those assets as you can, and you can use those assets to flip them into better things, right? Like, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later, but there have been trades that have happened in the NBA this week where basically just acting as a facilitator with cap room nets you a first round draft pick. Right.
Well, and
from teams that it could potentially be a very high draft pick. Right.
Well, to Pritchard's, in Pritchard's defense, he said that having cap flexibility over the next 2 to 3 years was very important to him. And we currently still have like $7 million in cap space after signing all these guys. And, most of these deals that he signed are short. They're 2-year deals or they're 1-year deals, or there's a deal where you could essentially waive somebody, or it's a player option. Like, he's created flexibility moving forward with all of these signings. So, I mean, he sees that part of it at least. Maybe I don't. He said something really interesting in one of his interviews, which was that he was not actively looking for draft picks. He was looking for pieces. He wanted younger players in the Paul George trade, but he wanted known quantities because draft picks are a crapshoot. You get a number 7 pick and, you know, whatever, you give up something for that and you whiff on that pick, or let's say it's a 5-deep draft, or, you know, there's so much unknowns in draft pick, whereas he could pick up an Oladipo and a Sabonis and he knows what he has with that. And I think that kind of drove that trade, which surprised all of us. But I mean, I think he's interested more in collecting young assets, not draft picks and cap space. I think that's what he wants to do.
Well, I think he's interested. I think that the organization as a whole is interested in staying competitive. I think that that's a point of pride for Simon and Walsh and all those guys, is that we haven't tanked, right? Like, that's not a thing that we do. We compete, or at least try to compete, every year. And that's admirable, right? It totally is. Like, there was an interesting conversation on Bill Simmons' podcast this week with Chris Ryan, where they were talking about, you know, we get into this Twitter sphere and blogosphere and, you know, 24-hour news cycle, and we look at things only as, you know, being going for titles or going for tanking. And being in the middle is viewed as being this, like, abhorrent thing that you should avoid at all costs. Like, if you're not competing for a title, why even try? Why even try? Roll out of bed in the morning, right? And I sort of agreed with his sentiment that that type of thinking is A, really negative, and B, does a disservice to, you know, the ethos of the game, which is just to go out there and play it to the best of your ability and try to get better at it and try to push the game as a whole and make it a better thing, right? And I think clearly that's the way Pritchard is thinking, is that we just want to compete, right? We want to go out there and our fans want to see us compete. You know, Joey talked last week about how he did not want us to tank, because that's just not a thing that
he didn't want to go see. That
is inspiring. Yeah. Right. Like, nobody wants to go see that, right? And I totally understand that and agree with it. And I think that, you know, as I'm starting to accept the reality, that's not going to be our plan. Not this year, not next year, not 2 years down the road, I don't think. I'm starting to accept that, you know, mentality. And we always talk about on this show about establishing a culture of winning.
Right.
Right. And that's the first thing that you need to do in order to get yourself in a position to be a title contender, especially in a small market, I think. Mm-hmm. So I like these moves. I like, there's, you know, all these pieces. I like all of these guys.
I do too. I'm actually happy with all these signings. And we haven't, you know, outside of Oladipo, which, you know, is getting paid $80 million over the next 4 years, there's not a contract on here that's going to be an albatross moving forward. There's not somebody where I thought we paid somebody way too much money. You know, we've got a ton of flexibility. And, you know, we're honoring the game of basketball. You know, you talked about whether the basketball gods might honor us with a better draft pick or a chance to get a better player at that spot because we're still trying, you know. Right. You know, God bless them, the 76ers. Markelle Fultz, their number one pick, went down with an ankle injury in summer league, you know, and you assume it's no big deal, but, like, my goodness, like, they just continue to have their guys injured. And yes, they're overly cautious with them because they want to continue to get high draft picks, but everybody felt like this is the year where they're going to come together and be competitive. But who knows, you know? You never know. So go out and get guys, try to play the game the right way. It reminds me a little bit of me writing a book, honestly, Jason. People told me, are you writing the great American novel, or are you writing a bestseller? And if not, why are you doing it?
Right.
You know, it's like, well, I'm writing a book to write a book because I need to write a book. And yeah, it's not the best book ever written, and it's not going to make me $1 million, but I still got to do it. Still got to roll out of bed and try to create art. And that's what we're doing as a franchise. were we really excited about being terrible this year and getting another piece to put up against with Miles Turner? Because what we're missing is that Paul George style all-star. Yes, but if you could put together a culture of winning and a competitive players, there's still ways to get those pieces in trades. Well, and
yeah, I mean, you look at a franchise like Miami, which last year was, you know, a collection of nothing, basically, outside of Hassan Whiteside and
the Dragon,
over the Hill, Goran Dragic. And they were 30-11 at some point just because they were playing ball the right way and they believed in each other and they fought, right? Yeah. And they have an excellent coach and they have a great structure there. So if that's our goal, if we're trying to emulate something like that, I'm cool with that. The thing that I don't understand how this team fits together. It's like I like all of these guys. I don't understand the geometry of the floor. We just spent 10 minutes trying to figure out who's going to play point guard, right?
Right.
Without mentioning the fact that we don't even have a person to play three. And we have five guys on the roster that are either 6'10 or 6'11 and weigh somewhere between 240 and 280. Like, we have five of those dudes.
Mm-hmm.
That seems kind of redundant, right?
We got more than five. I think we got seven, but it's fine.
But still, like, what is the plan, I guess? That's the thing that hasn't quite coalesced in my mind. And I think I don't know what the piece is, because it seems like there's another piece out there that we're going to go get.
I think now, so if we have, you know, we did the math before the show today, and we've got around $7, $8 million to play with. That's not a player that's a piece, right? I mean, that's a piece, but it's not anything that's going to change the trajectory of this team. I assume that we hold on to that cap space so that at the trade deadline we can facilitate something.
Well, the other thing, by my count, we have 15 dudes either under contract or that we're definitely going to sign. Now, the rosters are expanding from 15 to 17, and two of those spots can be these new flex spots, which one of our guys, Edmund Sumner, is going to do that. So there are spaces left on the roster, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, and maybe it will make sense, but I can't. So if we had a coach, Eric Spoelstra was our coach and we had this collection of random dudes, I'd have a little bit more faith in the process because I'd be like, he'll figure it out. Or right. If Pop was our coach, right. Or anybody
Rick Carlisle
that I trusted was our coach, right? My problem is I don't trust Nate McMillan at all to figure this out because I watched an entire season of him where he couldn't figure it out, and he had better chess pieces
with a far more talented team, right?
Exactly, right? Yeah. And that scares me a little bit.
Well, you know, my hope is this isn't getting figured out this year. I think that our goal as a franchise is got to be, you look at the best franchises in the league and they have good long-term coaches. And I think that that needs to be our priority at this point. We've got a team that's set. We can go to war with this team tomorrow, right? We've got all the pieces filled. But beyond that, and I'm not saying – I think we're going to war next season with Nate because Kevin Pritchard and Nate love each other. But
no, we definitely are.
But I think this season, this entire season from now until next offseason, needs to be a search for the right guy, the right long-term replacement. And if you can do that and stabilize our coaching situation around young prospect like Miles Turner and whatever else we're surrounding him with, which I think what you mentioned last week, Jason, was we've kicked the can down the road because we don't know what the piece is around Miles Turner. So what we're doing is just we're bringing a bunch of pieces in.
Right.
And we'll see what happens, right? If we can, at the end of this season, realize who those pieces are. I mean, if GR3 ends up being, you know, an all-star in a crummy East, you know, we're going to have to pay him a lot of money, and that starts to shape our team. If he ends up not being good, we get rid of him and we find something else, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to happen this season. But during that development and all that stuff, I think we need to be looking for a long-term coach.
Yeah, and or it's a one-year referendum on Nate McMillan as a coach. You know, the danger with that is that, say, GR3 plays decently well on a relatively bad team and makes an all-star game. That could be bad, really bad for the franchise going forward. If all of a sudden we're like, oh, he's an all-star, we have to keep this dude, but he's not really an all-star. You know what I mean? Like, because the East is so watered down and maybe the numbers get inflated or something like that. You know, I fear for that kind of situation.
You shut your dirty mouth. GR3 is going to be amazing. He's going to be a 25-5-5 guy.
Insane.
And he's going to make an all-star team because there are no all-stars. But I think he is a piece on a good team moving forward. I'm all in on the GR3. We'll find out this year, but I love GR3.
Sure. I mean, I like him too. Just fine, but I think you're right. I think that's a phrase that you've said a lot, is this dude is a piece on a decent team.
We don't have the number one piece. We don't
have a ton of those, but we have a ton of those dudes that are awesome sixth guys.
Yeah, that's great. Let's find the number one piece. How do we do that without tanking?
Can our starting lineup win sixth man of the year? Is that a thing that we can do?
We just collectively they win.
Yeah.
We'll just hang the banner in the...
Like these are all guys that should have been coming off the bench, and clearly they played really well.
Right. This team played so well together, they get the sixth man. I like it.
All right, so let's transition. So we've mentioned the East a few times here, and let's take a quick tour of what has happened in the East and figure out what the state of the East is right now.
I just mentioned without irony that GR3 might be an all-star.
Right.
That means something's happened.
So there's... what's the big move? So Cleveland basically is bringing the band back together. So there's still the alpha dog.
They brought in... Jeff Green.
Oh, they just signed Jeff Green.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's the same old team.
Otherwise, it's the same team. They may still try to move Kevin Love if they can, I think. Boston... has signed Gordon Hayward, or is trying to make the cap room to sign Gordon Hayward, I think, somehow. I don't understand how that works, but in an effort to do that, they just traded Avery Bradley to the Detroit Pistons in exchange for Marcus Morris?
Yes.
Okay. And so that makes them the clear second dog. Right.
I mean, losing Avery Bradley is a big loss. Avery Bradley was great last year.
It's a big loss, but Gordon Hayward's borderline all NBA.
He's not better. But, you know, Avery Bradley and Gordon Hayward sounds better than Gordon Hayward and Marcus Smart, in my mind, is all I'm saying. Right. And Marcus Morris fills a hole because they lost Kelly Olynyk to free agency. Olynyk went to the Heat for 4 years, $50 million. It's a lot of money. And thank you, the Heat, Miami, for signing him so that the Pacers didn't. Appreciate that.
Indeed.
That just smacks so much of the Crozier had one good, you know, playoff series and he gets overpaid. Like, and Olynyk basically had one game, and it was a great game, and it was super fun, but he just got paid like $12.5 million a year because of a game.
I'm glad we didn't make that mistake.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got Cleveland and Boston.
Right.
Who were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Those two, I think, are still the alpha dogs the East.
Yeah.
You have Toronto, who just traded us Corey Joseph in exchange for CJ Miles. They've been pretty active, actually. So they re-signed Kyle Lowry, re-signed Serge Ibaka, traded away Corey Joseph, and they actually traded away Damari Carroll, a first-round draft pick, and a second-round draft pick. These are in future drafts, to the Nets for Justin Hamilton to clear cap space so that they could sign all these guys. And I believe that's their main moves so far. Am I forgetting one?
No, that's pretty solid. Like, basically, we're actually waiting on the Corey Joseph move because Mari Carroll, or no.
Yeah.
Yeah, Damari Carroll has to go to Brooklyn before they have the room for the...
Right, and Brooklyn can't do it yet because they actually are committed to Otto Porter Jr., even though the Wizards signed his restricted free agent offer sheet, or agreed to match for the max. He's going to be making $24.9 million next year, which is outrageous. So Toronto's still lurking there, although I think they're about the same.
Probably. No, I think they're probably a 3 or 4 seed, sure.
Okay, and then you got the Wizards.
Which is bringing the band back together. They didn't change
anything.
Bringing
the band back together. They haven't really changed anything at all.
So they're a 3 or 4 seed.
Right. And then beyond that, things just kind of fall apart.
Atlanta fell apart. They got nothing. They lost Millsap. They traded away Korver midseason. They lost Horford the year before.
Traded away Howard.
They traded Dwight Howard. They have nothing. They lost him Hardaway to the Knicks.
For how much? For like $70
million. $71 million the Knicks signed Tim Hardaway Jr.
Didn't the Knicks trade him to the Hawks?
Yes.
So that they can now re-sign him for $71
million? Yes.
Brilliant.
71 for 4 years, right? I mean, that's...
Something like that, yeah.
It's near $20 million a year.
That's Jeff Teague money.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So that's insane.
So you got Miami. Miami's going to be good.
Miami's going to be...
Even though now Dion Waiters got paid.
Dion Waiters got paid. Justice Winslow takes another step, I guess. They brought in Olenek. I don't know. Like,
Bosch is officially retired.
I think they're probably a playoff team.
Probably.
The Knicks
are out
still.
Charlotte, I think, is going to be better.
Why? What'd they do?
They drafted Malik Monk. They traded for Dwight Howard.
Okay. Those are solid moves.
And they were good. Yeah. They make the playoffs every other year, and so they missed it last year, so they'll make it this year.
Okay. So that's six playoff teams. How do you feel about Philly? You think Philly's got enough juice?
Nope.
No?
I don't. Okay. Nope. They'll be fun, but they're too young. They're going to lose a lot of games in the last 5 minutes. You got Detroit. Do you buy Detroit as playoff team?
Well, they now have Avery Bradley.
And Milwaukee. I would say your locks are Cleveland, Boston, Toronto, Washington, Milwaukee.
Those are your only locks.
And that's it. Those are your locks.
Yeah.
And then you got...
Detroit. Charlotte.
Charlotte, Miami.
Probably
the inside track. I feel like we're missing somebody.
No, so that's the inside track for the eight teams. So now you've got what's left is Atlanta, Philly, New York, Brooklyn, and us.
And Chicago.
And Chicago, which is a train wreck. And there's one more team, though, if we do the math, right?
Orlando.
Yeah, Orlando's a mess. So, okay. So we're right. So I just think there are too many bad teams to
count us out of a playoff
spot. I mean, could we win 34 games and make the 8th seed? Like, I'm not even kidding, Jason. Like, that's not a... That wasn't said to be funny. Like, that's a real question.
That's got to be 37 or 38, right? What was that year when Paul George's leg was broken and we... scratched and clawed to 38 wins or something.
And we missed the playoffs
we missed it by a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually it's there. I don't know if we can get up to 38 wins.
No, I think 36 might be the magic number. I'm gonna call the over-under 36. And,
okay, so there's five teams that are definitely over 500 in the East.
Right.
Those are your playoff locks. Most of those teams, I would say, are above 45 wins.
Sure. They're going to be pummeling the rest of the East, because the East is terrible.
There are three teams that are going to be floating around 500.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's at least seven teams, including the Pacers, that could be potentially horrible.
But with a chance to also be floating around 500 and maybe get in the playoffs.
To get it together. And
I think that's what Kevin Pritchard is thinking. I think that's where he's at. I think that's what he wants to do. And I think that's where we move forward as a franchise. But we have cap space and we have assets and we can maybe find a piece. And that's his goal. Let's just be available to get pieces. Let's win games. Let's be Boston.
And by pieces, you mean actual players.
Yeah. And not assets. Draft picks. Not draft picks. But like actual asset pieces. Let's just keep moving forward and bring guys in and see who fits with Miles Turner. And let's win some basketball games.
Alrighty.
There you go.
Let's put that on a billboard.
what's the WNBA ones? Come watch us work. Ours could be like, come watch us try to figure it out. Come watch us tinker.
Come watch us, yeah. Do this on a hope and a prayer.
That's right.
Let's see who has chemistry with Miles Turner.
That's right. This is the Miles Turner experiment. Maybe that's what the billboard should say.
All right, Coulson. Let's. Joey's out this week. Like I said, he's in Hamburg doing some important work, top secret stuff. But he did take the time to send me a statistic.
Joey, stat of the week.
The number this week is 570,731.71, and that is the amount of money that James Harden is going to make on a per game basis
in the
2022-23 season after signing a super maximum extension with the Houston Rockets. That's right, $570,000 a game. So Harden currently is on a contract, and he has 2 years left on that at $59 million. And then he signed a four-year, $228 million extension to stay with the Houston Rockets.
So I don't want to be a cap nerd on your stat of the week.
Okay.
But the $228 million is what he will make over the 6 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're
he
right.
He signed a $170 million extension on the 2 years he had left at 58 or 59. It is the largest contract ever signed in NBA history. But as a player, you're only allowed to make the max you can make is 35% of the cap. And the cap is currently around $100 million. So his first year will be $35 million on that extension. And then he's allowed to get 8% bumps up from there. So that's okay. How you get to over $40 million by the time he's in 2023.
Right. So he's expected to, when the extension kicks in 2019-20, make $37.8 million
right.
that year.
And then 8% kicks 8%. Every year. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he'll be making, you're right, nearly, yeah, over $45 million a year.
$46.8 million. That's amazing. If the cap projections are correct.
That is absolutely incredible. That's a large amount of money.
Yeah.
So he's making $500,000 a game. Over $500,000 a game. Boy, you better not get injured.
Yeah, right? And that is all guaranteed money.
Yeah. So congratulations to him. Yeah. He has an elite skill, and it's he stops faster than anyone else in sports. He does.
He also has a large beard.
Yes, he does do that. I'm not a James Harden fan.
I would call it elite. It's an elite beard.
I'm not a James Harden fan, but I'm happy he's getting paid for he and his family and his generations to follow.
Many, many generations of all. Okay. So let's, in light of that, let's talk about, we talked about the state of the East, which was paltry.
Not good.
Not good. Let's talk about the West. So you got, you know, you got the Warriors, the Dubs, the Champs. They are bringing the band back together.
They brought everybody back.
Everybody back.
Iguodala came back.
Quite a pay cut, but that allowed Iggy to sign. It allowed Curry to sign his max deal. Zaza Pachulia is even back for more. Sean David Livingston. West is coming David back West. For more.
Yeah, he should have retired by now.
All of this, and they signed Swaggy P.
Ah,
one more shooter out there.
There you go.
So, so they are still clearly the best team.
They may lose JaVale McGee, however. Just putting that out there.
All right, so let's pencil it in. They're the best team. And then you got these guys. You got the aforementioned Houston Rockets, who not only have the beard, but they did a sign and trade for Chris Paul. So we talked about that last week. Was that last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, last week. Yeah, yeah.
So they have him. They also signed PJ Tucker.
Yep.
And they kept all of their dudes.
They still got Capella.
Still got Eric Gordon. Still got Ryan Anderson.
Yeah.
All those guys, right?
Trevor Ariza.
They're looking pretty solid. You have the San Antonio Spurs, who have been a little bit quiet this offseason, although they re-signed Patty Mills, and they signed Rudy Gay, a name you haven't heard in a long time.
But I think that's a solid pickup for San Antonio, because they do such a great job of taking talented players that are a little bit wayward and making them useful. I feel like they do that.
Totally. And what they do is they figure out what his skill set is and put him in positions to leverage that skill set as best as possible.
Do you think they start him as a large two, or do you think they have him come off the bench behind Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard? Like, what do you think they do?
Probably off the bench, I'm thinking. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he plays the same position as Rudy Gay. Or not.
Right, as Kawhi Leonard. Gay, yeah.
As Kawhi Leonard.
But, I mean, they could start him as a big two, or in small lineups, maybe put him at three and Kawhi at four.
They could totally do that, yeah. It gives them a little bit more flexibility, I think.
Yeah.
And one more wing to throw at the Warriors, you know, when they try to go small ball. Okay, so you got those teams. Those are sort of the cream of the crop. Who else? We talked a bit about OKC last week. They have been making some other moves. They obviously traded for Paul George. They have Westbrook there. They brought in
Patrick Patterson, right?
Two Pat this week.
So OKC is better, right? With Two Pat, Paul George, still got Steven Adams. Like, are they a top four team in the West now?
I would argue yes.
Okay.
Other people seem to think no, but
why not?
I think that you know, there are chemistry things to be worked out, right? Is Paul George going to be happy being a beta dog? I think yes, but I think outside observers might see some tension there. But I think he's perfectly happy to run off screens and just get wide open jump shots that Westbrook is going to create for him.
Get his easy points.
And to play with another superstar,
right.
I think that that's fine. So yes, I would say that the top four teams right now are the Warriors, the Rockets, the Spurs, and the Thunder.
Yeah. Okay. After that, what do you got?
After that, it becomes less clear to me. I think Utah has taken a big hit, right? They lost Hayward.
George Hill.
George Hill is gone. They did trade for Rubio, which is nice. They still have some good guys in, Joe Johnson's still there. Rudy Gobert. They're going to play good defense. They need more scorers, though, I think, to fill that hole of both Hill and Hayward. I think that the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to make a surge. They have done a lot of things as off. So they traded Rubio, but they obviously got Jimmy Butler. They have all their, you know, I guess that's the main thing. You get Jimmy Butler and all of a sudden you're super duper good.
Yeah. But then they went and
they signed Jeff Teague,
which we saw last year. He was our second best player last year. Like, the guy can run an offense. He's not much defensively, but he's a very competent point guard. Is he a top-tier point guard? No, but that's not what this team needs. They need a guy who can shoot. Rubio couldn't shoot. Jeff Teague can. He can also get in the lane. He can also set up these young guys and put them in a real offense.
Yeah, and he's not going to be a liability defensively because they can cover up for him a little bit better with Dang and all those guys.
They also went out and signed Jamal Crawford as their as their sixth man. So, I mean, he could still put the ball in the basket, right? I mean, every year he's a sixth man candidate.
Oh yeah, he will be again this year.
Yeah.
And he got out there. He was playing for LA, the Clips, last year. But the Clips executed a trade for Danilo Gallinari. So the Clippers get Danilo Gallinari. The Hawks got Jamal Crawford, Diamond Stone, and a first-round draft pick, and some cash from the Clippers. And Denver got Atlanta's 2019 second-round pick.
That's basically all. How does that work? Why did Atlanta get the first pick and Denver got the second pick?
I don't know. I don't understand how these things work.
Well, they cut. So the Atlanta then cut Jamal Crawford and Minnesota signed him.
Right. Basically.
Right. Do you like
Can
the
we
Clippers?
Talk about the clip?
Yeah. Do you like the Clippers picking up Gallinari?
Nope.
Really?
I don't think it makes sense.
Haven't they needed
a three? Their three best guys are now Blake Griffin, who they re-signed to a huge deal, DeAndre Jordan, and Danilo Gallinari. You can't have all three of those guys on the floor at the same time.
Why not? Gallinari can shoot. He's a three.
They're going to get run off the court.
Yeah, he's slow.
They're too big.
They're all
they don't
too
have anybody to make plays. Who handles the ball on that team now?
Griffin.
Austin Rivers?
No, Blake Griffin. They're doing point forward.
What are they going to do for the first third of the season when Blake Griffin is out?
Yeah. No, I agree.
And then what are they going to do the second third of the season when Gallinari's out?
Bunch of Austin Rivers.
I don't like that team. I think they're a lottery team.
Ooh, lottery team.
Yeah, I don't think Griffin can stay on the floor. I don't think Gallinari can stay on the floor.
All right, so Minnesota's your 5 or 6 seed, you think?
What did they hit? Well, they got all those pieces from Houston, I guess.
Yeah,
Lou Williams,
Patrick Beverley, and who's a solid piece, and Sam Decker, who might turn into something.
Sure. Yeah, I don't like him.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Nice. All right. Okay. Clippers are out.
What do we got? Denver's not going to be good.
Denver's terrible. We like Jokic.
Well, they have Jokic. He's
They're anxious to make a move, but they haven't really made it yet. So
right. Dallas is going to be shite.
Dallas has not done anything but re-sign Dirk, which is good for them. Are they still working on re-signing Nerlens Noel?
Probably.
They'll keep him though. Yeah,
Portland's been kind of quiet. Other than their draft day trade to move up and get the guy that I don't like, Zach Collins.
Right. So they've not done much to improve. And they were, an 8 seed last year?
Yes.
So, I mean, really, if they haven't done much to improve... I mean, although Nurkic was injured during that series. So, I mean, if he has a full season of health, they could be better. They showed real flashes with him playing well and their backcourt of Stoudemire and... What's their...
Excuse me? Lillard and McCollum?
Yeah, what is Stoudemire? Wow, I went back to...
That was awesome.
Yeah. I just had like a... I went back to 1994. Lillard and McCollum. So, you know, there's a chance that they're better with a full season with that team. But, yeah, I mean, they're kind of borderline. I think New Orleans kind of in the same place they were last year unless they figure something out. They didn't really bring new pieces to the table. They re-signed Drew Holiday.
They re-signed Drew Holiday for a ridiculous contract. and they have Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis.
They got to figure out how to make that level, work.
That makes sense, but they couldn't figure out how to make that work. And
they only had a half a season though, last year. But
that's a long time.
Yeah, but there's a chance that, you know, some off-season planning and stuff, like maybe this can work. They could be really good, but they don't have a lot of depth. That starting lineup may be really good, but they don't have anything to back them up. And then you've got Phoenix, which is going to be terrible, and the Lakers are going to be terrible. So, I mean, you almost sort of see where your playoff teams are already. I think Memphis.
Now, the Grizz? What do we think the Grizz are going to be?
The Grizz lost Zach Randolph. Marc Gasol's great, but there was rumors that he was on the trade block because I think Memphis is concerned that they're maybe starting over. So it's going to be a tough season for them. I think they're probably a 500 team and maybe at the trade deadline to try to blow it up.
So did we just get to a point where we think that the Kings have a shot at the playoffs?
I'm there. I think they're flirting with a playoff position. So I really like what
the aforementioned Zach Randolph goes there.
Yep.
They have
George Hill.
George Hill went there. They drafted De'Aaron Fox.
Right.
I like the other kids that they traded down and got two guys.
Justin Jackson.
Henry Giles. Is that his name?
Harry Giles.
Something like that. Who is a potential guy. He's probably not going to do a lot. But
they picked up Vince Carter.
Buddy Hield. They signed Vince Carter. At the age of 40.
He's making like $8 million this year to play basketball or something like that.
So my thing with them is
they still got Willie Cauley-Stein, who's you know, looks like he might be a basketball player. Like
he does things that need to be done on a basketball
court. I'm fine with this team. Like I don't think they probably win more than 30-35 games, but they're kind of in the Pacers position, right? Like if things turn right for them, maybe they're in the playoff conversation. If things turn poorly for them, maybe they're in the lottery. Like, I think that's where they're at.
Sure. I mean, my thing with them is that they're doing the right thing in a sense that they have these young guys and they're bringing in veterans to tutor them. But I think that those veterans are going to want to play basketball. And that's going to take minutes away from their young guys. So I don't know. I guess you're torn. But, as a Kings franchise, God, it's been so long since they've been in the playoffs. Maybe they just want to make the playoffs this year.
I'm really excited about
get blowed out by the Warriors for four games.
We've been beating up on them for so long, and everybody was like, when they traded Cousins for Hield, everybody was like, oh, well, they did another stupid thing, and then they've done nothing but smart moves since then. So I think we should all step back and give the Kings a little bit of credit.
Right. I mean, some people argue that the draft day trade was kind of dumb, but
I don't
disagree. I think it was smart. So that's it. I mean, it's way too early to write anything in stone here.
No, but let's go back through that. I think we had some consensus top six, right, on both both conferences. So we've got the Warriors, the Rockets, San Antonio Spurs, the Oklahoma City Thunder. You don't like the Clippers.
I don't.
We both like the Wolves. And after that, it's free for all from 6 to 8 for the last three playoff spots?
In my mind, yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't know what the Jazz are. I don't know what the Grizzlies are.
Right.
So the playoff teams last year that I think will maybe fall. I mean, I guess Portland will move up.
Yeah, let's put Portland in there. Yeah. So there's the top six. You're right. I don't think we know what the Grizz or the Jazz are, and I think Phoenix still stinks, the Lakers still stink, but you know, who knows what happens with New Orleans, who knows what happens with the Kings
and the Nuggets.
Yeah, so there's some stuff that's moving. In the East, you know, we definitely think the Cavs, the Boston, Toronto, Washington, and Milwaukee are all there. After that, it's a total crapshoot. I mean, just have, anybody could make it at that point.
Well, we decided, yeah, we decided the next tier was the Heat, the Pistons, and the Hornets. And then after that...
Yeah, but I mean, like...
Pacers are on the outside looking in.
Yeah, but well, what happens
and
if...
And then there's a bunch of trash.
Yeah, but I mean, I mean, is there... Philly could make that list. I mean, is there anything that's really that unexpected in the East right now? I mean, there's just... Man, it's bad. Anybody could make it. So... That should be on the billboard for the Pacers. Anybody can make the playoffs in the East.
Get
come and watch
tickets
us.
Now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited, Jason.
You are. Okay, good.
Let's
glad
do it.
Somebody is.
No, you said earlier in this pod, you like all of these pieces. They're fine pieces. They're guys that are going to play hard. they're all sixth men. They're all like guys that we like. Like let's get behind these guys and root hard, and maybe something breaks the right way, and we have a really fun season. I mean that's the goal, right? To have fun and win more games than we should.
Yeah. And, well, I think I'm definitely excited that I'm getting myself into a place where my expectations are going to be low. So
yeah.
Okay. Whereas last year my expectations were high.
Sure.
And
if we win 20
I
games
was
next
thoroughly
year,
disappointed.
You're not going to be. That devastated, but we could easily win 36. You know, like I think
fighting for the eighth seed. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'll be entertaining. But I think if this team wins 20 games, I don't think any of us would be disappointed because we feel like we need a draft pick.
Sure.
So we kind of win. You're right. Last year was a real disappointed because I think the franchise should be disappointed, and maybe that's why Paul George was so disappointed. I mean, it was not what it should have been.
No, nope.
For sure.
All right, well, let's get out of here. We've been babbling for a while. We want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in wherever you listen to us. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Undebeatables. We have a Facebook page, /TheUndebeatables. We have a website, TheUndebeatables.com. If you're listening to this on an internet radio, you can also subscribe to us as a podcast form. You can do that in iTunes or Stitcher or any place that you get your podcasts. If you happen to go to iTunes, drop us a review. 5 stars is preferable. Helps other Pacers fans find the show and just spread the word in general. There's a big movement. I heard a statistic on a podcast I was listening to the other day that only 44% of people know what a podcast is.
What?
Or have heard the term podcast or
what?
Something like that. Right? Maybe it was like over a certain age. I can't remember.
That's...
But regardless, it was a low number.
Are they all living in the desert? Does no one have the internet? I don't know what I would do without podcasts. Seriously, it's right? All I have. It's all I got.
It's a life changer.
It is.
So yeah.
So tell
share
a friend.
With a friend. Share
yeah,
us with
right.
a friend.
Call someone in the desert. Let them know.
Or your dad. Or your grandpa.
That's right.
Tune them in. And if you happen to go back to our website, there are a few t-shirts left. Probably about due for another printing. So if you have t-shirt ideas, send those in.
That's a really good thing. If you happen to be a larger person and want a t-shirt, we will reprint. Just because we only have schmediums left doesn't mean you can't get a shirt. And for our once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard... Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Whoa. What was that?
It was jazzy.
Oh, it was jazzy. Those people that listen to us at 2x speed are going to be like, whoa, I didn't hear it. All right.
I'm glad Monte Ellis is gone.
Me too.
Did I say that out loud?
I think he's going to... somebody's going to sign him, right? Somebody's going to be dumb and sign him. He'll see minutes
in a playoff game.
You should go all play right. for Dallas.
I got to pee and get another beer.
Okay.